Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. So, first up, I just want to say that all of the WCY merchandise and wearables were sent out last Monday. Some of you have gotten them and you're posting pictures, and I couldn't be more excited about the reaction that you guys are putting out there. The pictures are fantastic. Please keep sharing them on the WCY Facebook page or on Twitter. I just can't thank you guys enough for funding the show and making that sale a success. Huge success. I did want to mention that if you're listening to this on Sunday, in 2 days, the Masonic Roundtable will start its next discussion piece Tuesday at 10, 9 central p.m. That is, it'll go live on Google Hangouts, and it's also going to be on YouTube. This week's topic is going to be mathematics. That's right. So we're going into the fourth science, which is arithmetic. So I hope you guys all tune in for that. We're going to turn a dry subject of mathematics, hopefully, into something quite exciting, intriguing, and interesting. You know, we've got John Ruark, who is a super, super smart guy when it comes to mathematics. I'm not too shabby myself, and I know the other guys are really stoked for the episode as well. So I hope you guys all tune in at 10, 9 central on Tuesday night. It's going to be a great show. So that said, it's coming up to the giving season. So what we have coming up for you on the Midnight Freemasons is a really great piece coming out on Monday. So the night this comes out, hopefully you guys are listening to it on Sunday or Monday. If it's on Monday, the new Midnight Freemason post will be out. And if you listen to this after the fact, just check it out, go back in the backlog, and it should be on the first couple pages of the Midnight Freemason. We've got a piece coming out by Brother Greg Knott, and it's called What's on Your Wish List? And it is a bunch of really cool hot links to neat Masonic products, which gave us a great idea. We are going to be putting together a Whence Came You Mason's Gift Guide. Now, a lot of you guys have a hard time finding some really neat stuff. You have to sort through so many crazy places to go, whether it's on eBay, Amazon, Fraternal Ties, Fellow Crafted, Freemasonry Art, all these crazy cool places to get some nice stuff. We're going to showcase a few pieces in a multi-page PDF document that we're hopefully going to share in an episode extras bonus area, and also right on the website that you can download for free. So I hope you guys check that out. And with that, we're going to go into our paper for the week, and it's called Crystal Gazing. Crystal Gazing by Robert A. Henshaw, past Grand Master, Grand Secretary, Ohio. In 1974, the Conference of Grand Secretaries in North America presented a series of papers entitled, quote, Is Freemasonry Prepared to Serve Man in the New Century Ahead? The paper presented by Most Worshipful Brother Henshaw bears repeating and has been adapted for this short talk bulletin. Looking at several fraternal reviews that were printed just as the last century closed, here are a few of the things United States Freemasonry was concerned about. Indiana and Kentucky, unauthorized cipher rituals. Ohio, spurious groups, surname Masonry. Frequent reference is made to Masonic homes, per capita taxes, grievance committee reports. Many Grand Lodges were concerned about the problem of non-payment of dues, both about how to reduce the number and what should be penalty for failure to pay, suspension, removal from record, or what. Most Grand Lodges were enjoying a modest increase in membership, chartering new lodges and erecting new temples. In sweeping generalities, one could conclude that by and large, the fraternal reports of the various Grand Lodges written prior to the turn of the century were not drastically different from those being written today. Many of the problems and concerns of 90 and 100 years ago are the concerns of our Grand Lodges today. Perhaps the magnitude of the problem is not quite the same. Perhaps the locale of the problem has changed. Point two, then, is that if one were to draw a picture of Freemasonry at the turn of the century in broad brushstrokes only, the picture could reasonably well substitute for today's picture. Most of Freemasonry's problems did then and do now result from the nature of man and his basic failings. But this is not unexpected. If one were to scan the newspapers and magazines of the 1890s, he would find basically the same news items in print then as today. Murder, robbery, vandalism, extortion, crimes of passion, narcotics, drunkenness, forgery, arson, corrupt politicians in public office, a search for a higher standard of living through technological progress, etc. Actually, many of the stories in the Bible recount the same type of behavior, a behavior reported earlier by other writers who predated the Bible by many centuries. Man's basic nature has changed little from that of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. His environment and surroundings have changed continuously and dramatically but the human-animal remains almost a carbon copy, at least psychologically or behaviorally. Finally, we come to the question at hand. Is Freemasonry prepared to serve man in a new century ahead? Let us ask ourselves, what will we find in the new century ahead? First, a continuing technological advance with the following of striking advances and more. A. In the field of communication, the ability to communicate via thought transference will be developed. We call it ESP, or mental telepathy, today. In the next century, it will include not only personal one-on-one communication with Aunt Minnie in Kansas City, but mass communication as well. B. In the field of transportation, we will easily travel at speeds approaching or exceeding that of light. Personal energy packs for local airborne transportation will be common. It will probably be possible near the end of the next century to transport objects and perhaps people by first converting them or it to energy waves and then reconstructing that object to the final terminal by means of a sophisticated computer-controlled reconstruction apparatus. C. Energy will not be transmitted by wire or pipe, but by waves. Solar energy will have come and gone as an economical energy source, likewise gravitational energy. The exotic energy sources that will be in vogue are too fantastic to even guess in the terms of today's technology. D. We will probably again receive visitors to our planet from outer space, perhaps from our galaxy, perhaps from beyond. In turn, we will be sending expeditions regularly to other planets. We will have long ago colonized the moon, Lunar Lodge number 1, and countless space satellites will circle our globe. We will not comment at length on the use of the word again in the first sentence other than to say it means what it says, a repeat occurrence of an event that has already taken place. E. Probably the most dramatic progress will occur in the field of medicine. During the next century, almost any organ will be capable of transplant, not only by transplant, but manufacture as well. Human bodies will be reconditioned, much as we now recondition or remanufacture automobile parts. We will know a great deal more about the power of the body to regenerate lost parts. The lifespan will be greatly extended with little aging process accompanying it. And as a result, we will be faced with the moral problem of who will and who will not be permitted to continue on this planet, which, by the way, will almost certainly be under one government, if for no other reason than to effectively deal with other worlds. The most striking development of all to occur in the field of medicine, and the one that will have the greatest effect on Freemasonry, will be the great advances that are just over the horizon in man's ability to understand and to alter the human brain, and hence to control the human personality. Here, properly used, will be man's first capability of programming himself. We say, quote-unquote, first, but it will not really be the first, for each of us has had the capability all along to live in God's image, but few chose to make the necessary sacrifices to do so, to practice the self-discipline required to lead a moral life. What we should therefore say is that now man will have the first easy way to program himself, to become near perfect, unless our basic human imperfection again gets in our way, and in our greed we program our fellow man for greater lust, greater personal gain, for greater material gain. We stand during the next century to make a significant improvement in man's development. We might well see the coming century, the emergence of man's capacity to affect his behavior in a positive direction, either through surgery, chemistry, or controlled breeding, probably a combination of the first two. We don't think that we as Freemasons are quote-unquote ready for this today, any more than Rotarians, Presbyterians, Baptists, Republicans, males, Ohioans, or any other group is quote-unquote ready. In fact, many in this audience probably aren't even ready to believe the possibility of this exists. As Freemasons, however, we can adapt with time and be ready probably to serve man's needs on the short-term scale, just as we have done successfully for 250 years. And what are man's needs that cause him to seek Masonry? A need to be appreciated and respected, a need to be associated with a status group, a need for companionship, and a need to be needed. These are a few of the major reasons, and not too dissimilar from the reasons man joins any other voluntary group. So, long as Freemasons and Freemasonry offers an opportunity for an individual to gain self-respect and the respect of his peers, and at the same time offers him an opportunity to be a contributing part of this group, Freemasonry will survive and will continue to serve. Freemasonry will, however, have to be a little like a football team on any given Sunday. While no great team knows precisely what it will face this Saturday, or next Saturday, and certainly not in the next century, it meets each game in its turn, scouting the opposition as thoroughly as it can, coaching its players to the best of their abilities, stressing a well-balanced offense and a rugged defense, having what is called a strong, effective, quote-unquote, game plan, and then, once in the game, remaining alert to the opposition and receptive to changes. So with Freemasonry, we must A, scout the opposition, man's disinclination to become a Mason, or a member's potential to become a dropout, active antagonism by outside groups, etc. How do we answer a man's needs to make him want to become a member and to remain in good standing? B, coach the players or members to the best of their abilities. This means to educate the members, stress good ritual, demand attractive temples, and admit only respected members. We need to make the Masonic membership quote-unquote sought after rather than quote-unquote thrust upon one. Keep these standards high. Get the members involved and develop leaders. C. Develop a well-balanced offense and a rugged defense. In other words, develop a program that will permit Freemasonry to meet the needs it can and should meet, still retaining its basic fundamentals that characterize us as Freemasons. D. Finally, remain, quote-unquote, loose. In example, creatively responsive to change within our basically accepted framework so that we avoid vacillating to every whim and wind and, like a chameleon, change into something entirely and totally unrecognizable. But, you say, isn't this essentially what Freemasonry has been doing for 250 years? To which we would answer, yes. And with a pretty good record of achievement, Freemasonry has weathered many a storm. It has been effective in adapting itself within reason to changing times, still retaining almost all of its basic foundation stones and ancient charges intact. And with dedication, determination, self-denial, and self-discipline, there is no reason why Freemasonry cannot continue to field a winning team at any given time. The team we have today might not be able to win the game played in 2074, but it will acquit itself with glory this year. And by taking each year in turn, we will be ready to take the field in 2074. All right, so how fantastic was that paper? It was all over the place. So whether you believe in a lot of the things that he first mentioned in the paper or not, I thought it was super interesting and a really interesting way of looking at the future of Freemasonry. Where are we going? Are we going to be great when we get there? Obviously, we've weathered the storm, like he says, many times. I think we're going to be fine. Now comes the part in the show where I ask you to support the show through our apps on the Android, Apple, or Windows phone. What that does is it allows you to listen to this show anywhere you are. Either you're streaming or you can download it and save it for later. You can listen in airplane mode, however you want to do it. In addition to the ability to stream the show, you'll also get access to the show's bonus features, which are usually a Masonic wallpaper every week for your mobile device, as well as the paper we read on the show. So if you have the app, then you'll be able to have access to this fantastic paper we just read. Also, a couple other ways you can help out are through shopping. So you can check out onnit.com. It is a great website for healthy living supplements and workout equipment. If you go there and you click through our support the show links on our website, wcypodcast.com, and when you check out, use the coupon code WCY, you're going to get 10% off, as well as a portion of your sale will come back to this show to help keep those lights on. Another way to support the show is through freemasonryart.com. FreemasonryArt.com is the website of Brother Juan Sepulveda of the Winding Stairs podcast and also a co-host on the Masonic Roundtable. His works of art are amazing, and he also has custom Masonic aprons available. Check them out, use the coupon code WCY, and the same thing applies. 10% off for you, and they support the show with a small donation back here, which help keep those lights on. The third and last way is, of course, through a direct donation through PayPal. So if you go to WCYpodcast.com, you can just donate to the show, and that goes all right into the operational fund of this show. So all it's used for, of course, is to pay the monthly hosting costs of this show, and in the event we have an issue with any of the equipment, we can replace it. That's it. So next is this week's famous Freemason. I was a little bit shocked at this one. Not shocked in the sense that I can't believe this guy was a Mason, but yet again, a complete surprise. Brother Otto Elmo Linkheld, better known as Elmo Lincoln. He was born on February 6th, 1889, and he passed away in 1952, on June 27th exactly. And he was an American film actor, and best known for his silent movie role as the first Tarzan ever in 1918's Tarzan and the Apes. He portrayed the character twice more in The Romance of Tarzan, also in 1918, and in the 1921 serial The Adventures of Tarzan. Following the end of the silent movie era, Elmo left Hollywood and tried his hand at miming. In the late 1930s, he returned to the film industry, most often employed as an extra. He appeared uncredited in two Tarzan films in the 1940s as a circus roustabout in Tarzan's New York Adventure from 1942 and as a fisherman repairing his net in Tarzan's Magic Fountain in 1949. His final work saw him also playing a brief uncredited role in Carrie, starring Lawrence Oliver. According to Tarzan of the Movies, by Gabe Esso, Lincoln was quite proud of his work in the film as he was an admirer of Oliver. Lincoln died of a heart attack on June 27, 1952 at the age of 63. He's interred in a niche at Hollywood Forever Cemetery. For his contribution to the motion picture industry, he has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame at 7042 Hollywood Boulevard. In 2001, his daughter Marcia Lincoln Rudolph told his story in her book, My Father, Elmo Lincoln, The Original Tarzan. That's it for this week. Please remember to find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at WentzKMU, check us out on Google Plus if you're into that one. You can find us at the email address wcy@gmail.com. You can email me at that address as well, or you can email me at admin@wcypodcast.com. Don't forget to check out all of the cool links and places you can go and look for that WCY gift guide coming real soon. We'll post links to it everywhere. Stay on the level, guys. For WentzKMU, I'm Robert Johnson.